All right. Hey there, and welcome to Logos Conversations. It is our desire to continue the conversation from Sunday morning throughout the week to talk about meaningful things beyond just our time of worship together. And today is no different. I'm Danny Panter, one of the associate pastors here at First Baptist, and I have Jarrell with me today. Jarrell, tell us a little about yourself.
Yeah, so I grew up a PK and grew up in that pretty much my whole life. Ended up getting radically saved at 17. God used a car accident to help steer me in the right direction. Ended up going to Bible school, which is where I met my wife, from Florence, Alabama. And so we actually now have three kids, and we are ministering to creatives here in our city.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Super glad that you're jumping in on this conversation with me. So as you know, we've been doing this Better Together series, and essentially we've been asking everyone, will you commit in a brand new way to the community of faith?
Yeah.
And I think it's really important to get to the heart of that conversation, especially because I feel like more and more there are those who have grown up in ministry and life of the church asking the question, why in the world would I want to do that?
Yeah.
After what I've experienced or seen. And so there's this big word that they're throwing around now, deconstruction.
They're throwing it around.
They're
man.
Throwing around. It's everywhere. And so so as best I can understand it, and we're going to try to figure this out, the best I can understand it is that there are those who have grown up in the evangelical church who are beginning to question what it is they grew up believing, mm-hmm. and do they want to hold on to that any longer? Mm-hmm. What is it? So, again, super pumped that you can join with me. So let's just start right there. We hear this word deconstruction. I don't know if y'all have heard this word deconstruction, but what does it mean, and why is that even a relevant conversation for us?
Yeah. So, in me working with artists, I've definitely heard the word deconstruction.
Yeah.
Deconstruction a lot. And so I think at the core of it, there are just some central beliefs that all of us have. And they are beliefs that have, you know, we've gained them through just different avenues, different experiences and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, deconstruction is basically like going through the process of dismantling those beliefs. Why? That kind of depends on what's going on in your heart at the time.
That's right.
But like deconstruction really is like the process of revisiting and even dismantling like the beliefs that we've held on for so long.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, you know, for me, you know, you're a PK, I'm an MK, missionary kid. We share similar testimonies, not the car accident part, but I didn't come to faith until I was 17, right?
Yeah.
But I grew up around giants in the faith. I mean, my parents are faithful followers of Jesus. So I kind of, through osmosis and my personal story, you know, grew up with these teachings about Jesus in the church. So if I were a deconstructionist, if I were going through that season of life right now, then I would be looking at all those major tentpole things of beliefs in my life and testing them.
Yeah.
Like, is this legit? Is this real? Or like the word you used, and potentially dismantling or walking away from some of those things.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's it seems like even more than ever, particularly in the evangelical church, people young and old are doing that. What in the world do you think has contributed to the rise of people beginning to deconstruct their faith?
Yeah, that's good, man. So I want to kind of back up a little bit and suggest that this whole deconstruction thing is not just exclusive to the church.
Okay.
I think that people, like society as a whole, is just, you know, because of access to information, and now that it's so easily so easy to get at information, what happens is like you begin to question everything.
Everything.
Yeah, because if I want to see if something's true or not, I can just look it up on Google, right?
That's
or I can do, you know, so I think there's part of that that's happening. Our society, whether you're a believer or not, like you can see that there are people that are questioning what it means to be a human, to be a man, to be a woman, like all of these different things, you know what I mean? Like, and that's not exclusive to the church. Obviously, it impacts people in the church, and the church should have a voice in that.
But
people are questioning everything right now.
So there's just like this undercurrent.
Yeah.
We're going to test everything. These traditions or values or beliefs that, you know, once were just, you know, just believe this, we're now saying, I'm not so sure if I want to believe that or I should believe that anymore.
Yeah.
And that's true of every part of life.
Yeah. I think, you know, if we look at history, like history is just kind of repeating itself. I mean, we look at the Reformation, right? Going back into church, like you look at the Reformation and there were some things that really attributed or played a part in that whole stepping away from all of those beliefs. So like the access to information, like you think about the printing press, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like so now people have access to information, and not only that, you know, it's not just for the people who are literate or the people who are
in
wealthy
or authority.
Exactly. Now it's like made accessible to everyone. People who could not have their thoughts conveyed can now do that, right?
Yeah.
And so there's the aspect of a platform,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so there's, and all of that is in play right now, right? There's we're in the information age. Everybody's got a platform with social media.
Yeah.
And so, and then obviously like there's, you know, going back to the Reformation, there was corruption. There was actual real corruption in the church. And so now what we're seeing is there's pastors in the Protestant, you know, in Protestantism, there's pastors that have been falling, and it doesn't matter where you're from. This is whether you're Catholic or Baptist or Reformed.
Right.
It's like everybody's, you know, the heroes of these particular places are taking falls. And so it's like, you know, we have a generation that's looking and saying, man, like what they're preaching is not really working for them.
Yeah, yeah.
So
or now, it doesn't match with what they're preaching, and their life doesn't match.
Yeah.
Doesn't fit together. I think you're absolutely right. It's interesting that you brought up the Reformation, because they too, because of increased access to the Word of God, we're beginning to ask, why is the church doing these things?
Exactly. Yeah.
Doesn't seem to fit, and it's now happening to the nth degree because of the volume of information that we have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I do agree that there was a season in evangelical life where I think we could say, oh, we're fine. I mean, look at us. We're not like the Catholic Church with all the stuff that they're dealing with and the priests doing this. And not anymore.
Right.
I mean, we're, like you said, we're kind of all in the same camp where there has been corruption and major falls that have just kind of sprung up out of the evangelical church, that we're really no different,
mm-hmm.
which is a great catalyst for people to say, why am I holding on to these truths that these people have been teaching me? And what authority, or even better, what authority do they have in my life to tell me what to believe and what to do?
It's powerful. Yeah.
Yeah. I had one other thought, and it's going to come to me. I was going to say just so part of my personal experience being around other missionary kids is one of the things that missionary kids have struggled with that has led to a season of deconstruction in their life is they saw their parents under the call of God, you know, give their life to the mission while simultaneously neglecting their children.
Yeah.
You know, and they can't reconcile that. Or even worse, giving their life to the call of God and yet still harbor some very sinful behavior at home. Right?
Yeah.
So you grow up.
It's real, man. Yeah.
You grow up, you know, my parents believe the Bible, they're doing God's will, and yet I don't see that at home. I don't experience the love of Jesus that they're showing some others.
I've felt that in my own life as I'm like questioning things. And my parents, just as a side note, like I feel like my parents are some of the best parents to like walk the planet. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I'm one of those kids, you know? But even as I'm working in church environments and all that kind of stuff, I can see like, okay, this is what scripture is saying. This is what we're doing, right? So it's the orthopraxy, right?
That's
like
right.
How we're carrying out really what we believe. And a lot of that doesn't match up sometimes. And not with any malintent, right? Sometimes it doesn't take much to have a gospel drift.
You're right.
Right?
You're right. And part of what contributes to that is just the wealth of information. Let's just be honest. Our news cycle loves to find and identify the person who's fallen on their face, right? And it seems like the worst of the church is going to be in the news, not the best of the church.
Yeah.
And so it's just like we're going to arm people who are struggling with their faith or have a crisis of faith or this season of deconstruction, they have plenty of things to look at and pick from because that's what our news cycle is going to identify. I think the other thing too, and tell me what you think about this, Jarrell, I think politically there has been this significant rise, and it's been this way for the past 30 or 40 years of, the Christian right, mm-hmm. right? Where, hey, we're Christians, but it seems like the policies that we really want to advance, and this is what I think some would say, the policies that the Christian right would want to advance really don't look like Jesus at all.
Mm.
And I don't know if that contributes to this deconstruction where people are saying, the evangelical church is, not willing to really take care of the refugee, the immigrant. It doesn't look like that matches with their Christian message. Mm,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely, man. So what I feel has happened is that here, especially like in America, right? Like we have taken, American personal preference and like overlaid that or even woven that into our gospel message, right?
Yeah.
And so when somebody is saying, man, I want to deconstruct because this doesn't look like scripture, we have a hard time separating those things. And so a person who's deconstructing, they'll say, you know what? Like, if you're not going to separate these things, like it's pretty clear and obvious that this is what scripture says. This is your personal preference.
Yeah.
If you're not willing to identify that and say that there is a difference, that I'm just going to walk away from all of that altogether.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's even in scripture, right? Like, the Pharisees were guilty of weaving in the traditions of men with the law of God.
That's right. Yeah. And Jesus had some stuff to say about
that. Yeah. And so people were not just as they were back then. They're not gung-ho about, hey man, let's do all that stuff. It feels like a weight that nobody's able to carry.
Yeah.
And so people just are like, man, I'm done with that. Why would I need to stress myself out over that? You're not doing it well.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't match up with what Jesus did or said. I'm just gonna wash myself of it.
Yeah.
Completely.
And there's dangers. Like, I think there's dangers in that because in life in general, like we wanna be able to identify, hey, this is good, I'm gonna keep this. Mm-hmm. This is bad, I'm gonna discard that. We wanna be able to do that. But I think the society that we're in right now is just so over it. They're just like, you know what? It's easier to just discard. and just walk away.
Well, and I think that's an interesting point, because at that point, I think it's really not deconstruction. It's just walking away.
Yeah.
Because I think a person that's really walking through a crisis of faith that requires deconstruction is looking at all of those things and saying, what is true, what is not? Mm-hmm. What do I hold on to? What do I let go? Where sometimes I think that term is just used for a person that says, I'm just done.
Yeah.
And that's not healthy either.
Yeah.
That's not healthy either. Hot takes. So this is hot take time, which means Jarrell nor I know the question that's about to be asked. It's going to be a very relevant question in today's culture.
All right.
So I always get a little anxious. Are you feeling anxious?
A little bit, because you just don't know.
You don't know.
You just don't know.
All right, Catherine, what is it? What is it?
Okay. Is it sinful to make what we would consider wrong choices, but is it sinful in a virtual world? So, for example, is it okay if I run over a prostitute in a stolen car?
Oh!
In Grand Theft Auto.
Holy cow, that's good.
Well, that's good. Can we sin in a virtual world? I think is a very relevant question.
Ooh.
I mean, listen, the metaverse is only just around the corner.
No, yeah, it is.
And it's here
right now,
but it's going to explode. It is going to explode. So I'm going to let you.
Oh.
Do you want me to go first? I mean, I have some thoughts.
No. Yeah. So,
okay.
So I would probably say, you know, in a virtual world, it's the heart that matters.
That's right.
You know, and the thing of like, can you sin with your eyes and all of these different things, right? And so it really is a heart, and that's the heart matter whether you're in a virtual world or not. Like that's kind of like what Jesus always points us back to.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement. I mean, I go back to Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus really gets literally the heart of the matter. It's not just about behavior modification.
Yeah.
It's about what's going on in your heart. Do you really love your brother? Are you lusting after this woman in your heart? Because lust is just as guilty as the act of adultery.
Yes.
And so he gets back to the heart. And what I love about Jesus, as hard as this is to hear, when he talks about sin, he says, this is war. You go to the nth degree to get rid of sin. You cut your left hand off. If your left hand causes you sin, you cut it off. And I think playing around in the virtual world is the equivalent of really playing around with those sinful desires.
Yeah.
And nothing good can come of that.
Mm-hmm.
It'll only feed your heart and desires in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have both. You can't be virtuous in the real world and unvirtuous in the virtual world.
Right.
The heart and the body become one and the same.
Yeah. And technology is going to make sure that they come together.
Yeah, anyway. That's right, dude. They're going to be able to feel everything.
Yeah.
So the answer is yes. You can sin in the virtual world. Well, Jarrell, what about your just own personal experience? I mean, kind of where...
Yeah.
Have you been at a place in your life where you have had to ask these same kind of questions and with the people that you interact with? What's that like?
Yeah, I mean, so just from a personal standpoint, man, you know, I've had many crises of faith.
Yeah.
So like, you know, just, you know, hearing atheist arguments and, you know, trying to reconcile that with scripture.
Absolutely.
You know, so there's that aspect of it all the way to, you know, being in the church, wanting to see the church at a better place, wanting to see it look more like Acts, and mm-hmm. then, which is, I think that's where I am right now, is, man, I want to see the church look like the Book of Acts with like life and just spiritual fervency, you know, that
yeah.
kind of thing, and then seeing the stumbling blocks to that, because right now, just for me personally, Acts 2 is very communal,
mm-hmm.
and that is well received right now just in our society at large, right? Mm-hmm. Like community is a big thing. People are trying to get to community. And so so I'm like, man, what are the stumbling blocks that we've held on to that are preventing this from happening, you know? And so that's kind of been my thing. I've definitely had to ask, answer those questions. But then also, like, the people that I'm working with too is just, they've had similar experiences, man. Whether they're believing creatives or creatives who don't believe in God and they're atheists and all that kind of stuff, they're all, it's a spectrum mm-hmm. of belief. And what's going on in our hearts will kind of determine whether we actually stay with it or just walk away from it altogether.
Yeah, I really appreciate you bringing up Acts, because in Acts we see, we don't see this institutional church. We see the Holy Spirit just exploding the lives of these new Christians. And it's like this unstoppable thing. Yeah. You know, the church just exponentially grows and you see this beautiful community that can't help but love each other, serve each other, mm-hmm. and share the gospel. And it's like, sometimes the feeling is, where did all that go? Are there so many institutional trappings in the church, in some churches today or in the church at large, that keep the world seeing that kind of Christian community? Of course, that's where you say, you know, even unbelievers, you know, can look from the outside in and say, you know, I don't know if I want to have much to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't know if those beliefs are even true, because I don't know if I want the trappings of the institutional church, or it doesn't look like the Jesus you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, man, if you going back to Acts chapter 2, I mean, we see community happening. I think one thing that we have to really think about is that all of that stuff that was happening, the breaking of bread, fellowship, getting into the apostles' doctrine, mm-hmm. you know, just hanging out, that communal life centered around Jesus, that happened after a move of the Holy Spirit. And here's the thing, man. I really believe that we have done a disservice to the world by not talking about, like, I guess limiting the Holy Spirit to behavior modification versus no, the Holy Spirit actually allows us to, he works in our hearts. He allows us to actually come together in community. He gives us the will and the want to actually get into, to mm-hmm. dive into scripture.
Yeah.
But if we, if we take the Holy Spirit out, what do we have except for systems?
Yeah.
Like, if he's not doing the work, then we got to do it.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I feel you, man. You're exactly right. And if people are going to walk through a season of deconstruction, especially those who have grown up in the church, the only one that's going to bring them back to a place of growing faith is the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Right. To see this, see and experience the Spirit of God at work through his people. Everything else, you know, can just kind of, it needs to just kind of blow away. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So we can get to the heart of what it means to be followers of Christ, to be his church in the midst of a hurting world. I think we can kind of wrap up our conversation with saying again, there are real people in the church and outside the church that are testing the Christian faith.
Yeah.
Some are walking away. Some are testing it and holding and finding those core truths to hold on to. But we have a responsibility as the church to come alongside, to speak to mm-hmm. those things that are happening in and around the church right here today.
Yeah.
So
good stuff,
man. Well, any last words from you, man? So grateful that you could help me kind of flesh this out a little bit.
Yeah, I thank you for the invitation, man.
Yeah.
Like, I think this is like, just for me personally, like it's just such an important conversation.
Yeah.
Just because I think that there really is a distinction between people who really want to take advantage of this cultural conversation around deconstruction, yeah. and they want to say, okay, these are all the reasons why you should walk away from the faith. There are people out there who actually want to do
that's
that, but
right.
then there are people who are just earnestly
yeah.
seeking mm-hmm. and saying, hey, church, can you give me some answers? And if we're not willing to do that, or at least have the open, honest conversation, and not even pretend like we know everything, right?
That's
like if we just say, hey, that's actually something I'm battling with right now. I'm struggling
yeah.
with it. You know, if we're not willing to do that, then people will walk away.
Yeah.
But if we're honest mm-hmm. and willing to have dialogue, because it is a conversation.
It's a conversation, yeah.
Then so if we're willing to have dialogue and be open and honest about stuff, like I think the church can actually capitalize on this cultural conversation.
I think you're absolutely right. One last question, Jarrell. What would you say to a person right now on the other side of this videoed conversation that's going through this right now, that they're testing their faith, they're deconstructing their faith? What words would you say to them?
Yeah, man. So I would say at the end, I guess at the end of all the deconstruction is a journey to find out what's true, mm-hmm. right? And so if Jesus really is the truth, then your pursuit of truth, real truth, is going to lead you to him. And the Spirit, the Bible says the Spirit guides us
That's right.
into all truth.
That's right.
And so I think, you know, I'm never going to discourage somebody from asking the hard questions,
mm-hmm.
but asking honest mm-hmm. questions. Honest questions and searching for honest answers versus trying to get an answer that's going to affirm something that, you know, that's already on the inside of you that says, I don't have anything to do with church. You know,
yeah.
Like that's heaping teaching that's just making you comfortable,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And the Bible warns against that, right?
Yeah.
So,
well, they call that confirmation bias, right?
Yeah.
You're just gonna find the sources that just reaffirm what you already kind of want to believe.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, but an honest search for truth,
yeah.
Is gonna lead you to the truth.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, thank you so much for hanging out, listening to this conversation. Let's just end it there. Seek the truth. Ask the Spirit of God to open up your heart and mind and your eyes to see what is true. Talk to people to help you walk in this pursuit of truth. Again, thank you so much for joining us today. God bless.